Yeah, hello, good people, and welcome to episode 6 of the Giddy Up podcast. My name is Justin Tippett, and I'm joined again by world champion Paralympian Don Elgin.
I just keep coming back, don't I? You know what I come back for? Those tunes. I love them.
You love it?
They get me up and about, mate.
It does get you up and about, doesn't it?
Yep.
Now, mate, it's been a week, roughly, since we've talking to your good people out there. So,
and a few of the dodgy ones they're listening to.
There are. It's been a lot happening in the world, as there always is, but unbeknownst to you, Don,
oh,
I had a bit of extra time on my hands.
Oh, here we go. This concerns me when this happens.
Well, let's just say there's a few extra effects. There's a few of the stingers have had a bit of a makeover.
Have they?
They have.
This is something I'm unaware of. Now, given that we're a partnership in this, JT, I don't know if I should be excited or not.
Sometimes I think it's best just to leave these things unsaid. So you'll get to experience a little bit of that at the same time as our good listeners.
All right. Giddy up.
Got your attention this week.
No change there, Donny. No change whatsoever.
Still a shit one to start with. Oh, no.
Now, look, let's just get straight to the chase, Don. I don't want to muck around this week. Last week when we told our listeners that times are tough, people have had to do things that they haven't done for a while.
We told them that.
We've got to keep food coming on the table and mouths to feed, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
You went back on the tools.
I did. I went back out. I got myself a job. I was working with the boys, we were putting bloody pump stations in up the bush. Jeez, it was hard yakka.
Mate, you said it was hard yakka, but man, I love it. I love that the fact that you're now out there in amongst the community, you've got a new job, you're making some new mates. This is bloody awesome, mate. I think it's gonna build to something. I really feel it.
You had some surprise for me, JT.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm not on the tools anymore.
You got fired.
No, I didn't
is
get
it over already?
Well, it sort of is. I was, how shall I say? Let's say headhunter because it sounds really impressive. But
it does.
Mate, I've got another job. Like in a pandemic when there is people struggling and out of work, I was very, very, my skill set was better aligned to this new opportunity. And I said, absolutely, I will have a piece of that. Thank you very much. This will be great.
Red tube.
So stay tuned for some of my best work.
This is a PG-rated show. Well, do we talk about this new job, Don, or not?
We can. I mean, it's going to be online, but it's not quite the online you're used to, JT. This stuff. So what I'll be doing is I'll be heading up a team of people that are providing online services for people that have a disability that typically would go in and perform their tasks and be paid for it and enjoy that opportunity, but that's due to COVID. They are like many people and they're going to miss out on that. And so we've been very fortunate to be able to take it online. So, mate, I'm going to tell you a lot more about it as we go, but I'm stupidly excited about this opportunity to lead people, to mentor, but importantly, change people's lives online.
Awesome, mate. Congratulations.
Thanks, mate.
I know you are. I was taking the piss, of course. I know you're very excited about the opportunity and I look forward to hearing how it goes because there's obviously a need for it out there and it does – it's right up your alley, mate. It's something you're passionate about and combining your skills of online, which you've clearly got no skills about. So this should be interesting.
And so what will be really interesting is a week on the tools. If I can last 2 weeks, mate, that's my new record. So all this working for a living, it's weird, but I'm enjoying it.
And I'm loving it. Wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
Now, of course, last week we also mentioned, I was bloody excited about Kanye West. He's running for president.
He's still going, isn't he?
Well.
What do you got?
There's a bit of an update, mate. Oh, it's presidential.
That's presidential sort of. That's a new segment, surely. The president of the states fight.
I get very excited by that tune. I don't know why. It just gets me excited. Well,
of course. You were marching before when I got here and I was seeing you up and down. This, what are you doing, Joe? The music was pumping. What do you got for us?
Well, he announced, obviously, that he was running for president, which I think is very exciting, with a birthday party.
That's right.
Because every day will feel like a birthday under Kanye. That legit is what it's all about.
What an awesome party. If it wasn't the birthday party, the next one I'd vote for is the sex party. Because I've never heard of anything that they do, but just the name of their party had me at hello. So the birthday party, well, that's got to be good. And Kanye at the helm, that'll be great.
Well,
how's he going? He's not out.
There was stories circulating yesterday it's all over that he's pulling out of the presidential race.
You reckon Trumpy tapped you on the shoulder and said, hey,
now, Don, Kanye. I can hear and see the look of disappointment in your face, but Don, let me be the first one here now breaking it on the Giddy Up podcast.
You heard it here first?
He's still going.
Oh, you beauty.
Yep.
Okay.
It's still all up. Wednesday, he filed the first piece of paperwork required.
Oh, one of his buddy, what did they call it? You know, what are they called? You know, what he didn't have any of, you know, his tax.
Oh, policies.
Policies. One of his policies?
No, let's not get too carried away. He's just published the, or filed the piece of paperwork requiring that, you know, he had formally is declaring for the presidential race. So he has now put that in. So it's all steam
ahead. Official.
It's official. All systems go, mate. So I'm pretty excited about that. We'll keep you posted on Kanye Watch because it's going to be hours of entertainment, I suspect.
You are our official Giddy Up Podcaster international correspondent.
Political correspondent. Into the US. That's
me. Everything. If it wasn't for COVID, you'd be there, right?
I'd be all over it.
We'll buzz you in next week. Righto. Now, I'll tell you what, talking big things, I want to just hats off and a big acknowledgement to all the mums and dads out there or carers, guardians, you know who you are, that are about to knuckle down and have a crack at homeschooling take two.
Oh, my God. Can you believe it?
I can because, well, this is a situation we find ourselves in. And obviously, I mean, you've got some young kids. I've got a couple of young kids and a couple of older ones too that are a bit young sometimes. But the truth is a lot of people out there are going back and have to literally set up the lounge room again. And it's not bloody easy. Anyone who says, oh, yeah, homeschooling is a piece of piss, I kid you not, come to my house for recess, mate. It was nuts. And so I'm just acknowledging that some people are going to do it tougher than others, but just remind yourself you've got this. You know what? You can do it.
Absolutely. Good luck to those out there. And, yeah, it isn't easy, but we've got through it before and I'm sure we can do it again. And sometimes, again, with the benefit of a bit of experience, hopefully this time around we sort of just slip back into that routine and it's a little bit easier than it was the first time around.
And I would love to run a poll. How many people brought back corporal punishment at homeschooling 101? Because I know a lot of people says, no, you can't eat your kids, but they might have been tempted.
There's a lot of funny memes going around about some homeschooling.
Yes, parents.
Share some on the page, I
think. Yep, we should.
Now, last week we reported about the very sad passing of Chumpy, which was obviously very unexpected. And unfortunately, the world's lost another really nice person.
Kelly Preston tragically passed away on July 12, 2020, after battling breast cancer for 2 years. Preston's death has left her husband, John Travolta, devastated. The couple have been together for decades.
Now, JT, we also spoke last week about the importance of having conversations around suicide, and we really put the spotlight on men to have a chat. And I think it'd be crazy for us not to acknowledge the impact of obviously the passing of Kelly, but importantly the how many women we lose through breast cancer. And of course we've done a bit of research and to know also too, I just want to hats off here to anybody who's going through cancer because it's bloody not easy. And the reality is, although front of mind is COVID and whether we wear a mask or not, the truth is cancer doesn't know if it's bloody COVID's here. It presents and people are still having treatment. People are still have got to go through these life-changing things, but even so much more difficult today because they're not allowed to have that normal support network around them. And when we talk about 3,000 deaths a year and that's around 8 a day of people dying and about 1% of those are men from breast cancer, mate, that's tough. It's tough on families and has a massive ripple effect. We've got quite a few stats around this, and when we think about the fact that 20,000 women are diagnosed every year, I mean that's a massive stat, isn't it? And for most people, they would know somebody, or somebody, you know, if it's not in their family, but somebody connected to their family that has had breast cancer and is dealing with it. And I know, you know, when breast cancer come to our family through my mum, like it knocked our family for a six, mate. We weren't sure and we still are today ridiculously grateful that mum was able to get through that. And I'll tell you something I'll never forget, JT. I'll never forget mum showing me the side of her boob one day after she'd come home, she'd had her radiation and her boob was black. Like, and I just like when you see your mum and you see your mum lose her hair, that shit's tough. And you just think, wow, we were at least able to give her a cuddle, to all get around her. And, you know, through COVID, I just know for a fact that anyone who's going through these tough times, will find it even tougher dealing with a life-threatening illness or a potential illness. The great news is how many people survive. So with, I think it's about a 95% survival, which is...
Post 5 years.
And, you know, and to be honest, once upon a time you've got cancer was a death sentence, and that's simply not the case now with the advances in technology. So to anyone struggling out there, we want you to absolutely just know you're not on your own, and please, you know, continue to be strong and do what you have to get through this, and particularly reaching out to have conversations, so important.
Yep, absolutely. Well said, Donnie. Now, I've got another bit of news. It's...
you've got that look on your face. That concerns me when you do that. What are you going?
It could rock you because... Hey, what star sign are you, Donnie?
I'm Sagittarian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're the best. We're the happiest. Like, we tend not to give too many shits about all the world's problems. Oh, hang on. You're going to dispute this.
Well,
I'm the happiest bloke I know, JT. Oh, shit, you're not.
Breaking news, Donnie.
Oh, here we go.
Well, look, our friends at NASA.
Oh, yeah.
They know a little bit about the planet.
Us and NASA are like
very, very close. But, man, they happen to know a fair bit about the universe.
They're alive.
Kind of study the stars and all this sort of stuff. Yep. Now, of course, astrological signs are determined by the sun's position in relation to the constellation on the day of your birth.
Of course.
Right, so we all know that, don't we, Don?
Hello.
And, what happened basically is ancient astrologers charted the 360-degree path of the sun.
Right.
Mathematically pleasing 12 equal parts.
Beautiful.
Each one of those was in 30 degrees, and that's where we got our 12 zodiac signs from.
So it's not necessarily the month, it's where it crosses over, and so that's why we've got a bit of a crossover.
Sure, let's go with that.
Yep.
So all you got to remember is 12 equal parts, 360-degree path.
Yeah.
And there's our 12 astrological signs.
Perfect.
Well, mate, that was done about 2,500 years ago.
So?
Things changed, Donnie.
The sun's still going around, isn't it?
Well, according to theory,
yes. The
Babylonians, they're the ones who first invented these 12 signs.
They're who?
They actually saw the constellation of, and I'm going to try and pronounce this one.
Yes.
Ophiuchus.
Seems like you just come over on a boat.
You heard it here first, because I'm pretty sure that's not right. Offie, basically, they saw Offie.
Yeah.
But it actually just didn't fit neatly in one of those 12 slices, so they kind of just left it out. So there were actually 13 signs.
Oh, hang on a minute.
But it didn't quite make it, so they dropped it 2,500 years ago. But now the sky has shifted because our axis, our North Pole, doesn't quite point in the same direction it did a while ago. So NASA have actually remapped everything, and there now are officially 13 signs. And it's basically, it's screwed up everything, Donnie. So you know how you were?
I'm still.
A Sagittarius.
Oh, no.
Well, Donnie, I've got some news for you.
Oh, shit.
Yours is one of the few signs.
Yes.
That hasn't changed.
You'll be okay. Still a happy camper.
Whereas me, I was born on the 24th of August, which is right at the start of Virgo.
Yeah, right.
And now I am dead smack in the middle of being a Leo.
Oh, how's that make you feel?
Look, I'm really reeling with this info. It's changed my whole personality overnight. It's
you won't know if you're Arthur or Martha, mate.
It's staggering. So, mate, it's thrown the whole astrology world into disarray, mate. There's absolute chaos. It's all over the media in the last day or two.
So when you look in the Herald Sun, it says your sign.
Your sign has now changed.
Mine has. But
for a lot of people it has. There will now be 13 signs.
Wow.
And the dates have actually all been shifted. So you'll find online. We'll post a link in our Facebook group.
Shit.
But, yeah, literally this is breaking news.
Who did this? Effie?
Yeah, Offie's the new sign. Offie's just the new sign. Blame the Babylonians who did this 2,500 years ago.
Right.
They're to blame.
So this is what happens when you got a bloody nerd on your podcast, mate. You'll be on bloody Big Bang Theory soon.
This is bloody important information. I'm sure a lot of people like their star signs, Don.
Oh, I do. I love it. That's how I knew to be happy. I looked at the star signs. Like, today, your lucky numbers are, they haven't won me Lotto yet. So anyway. Well,
funny you mentioned Lotto, Don.
Here we go.
Because I'm pretty sure last week we spoke about you not looking. You pretty much thought you had it in the bag. And
when it was one Victorian.
I've got to tell you, I did get a little bit excited when it was one person in Victoria. I thought, you've got to be shitting me.
I'm half a chance here. And then it went Mornington. I thought, I haven't bloody strayed down to Mornington for a bit. That shot me in the ass. And I just said, right.
From there. So that theory's up to shit, Don.
Yeah, so I checked my ticket. I won $10.
There you go.
So, yeah, I better not check next time.
Now, aside from star signs changing in the world in disarray on that, mate.
Surely there's no bigger news.
Dry July. How's it going? Because, you know, a lot of people do dry July, Don. It's basically, for those that don't know, it's pretty much when you take a month off the grog.
Yes.
Donate some good coin to some great charities.
Correct.
So
I'll tell you how it's going.
Yep.
Grog shop sales are up 80%. How you reckon that's going, mate? Yeah, dry July. I had a chat with a bloke the other day, a very serious chat. I was just ringing, doing a bit of a mate checkup. I said, "How are you tracking, mate?" And he goes, "Yeah, good." And we were having a bit of a laugh. And we said, "Well, you know, dry July." I said, "You know what? I'm doing dry July. Dry July mornings. And I am killing it. Like, I'm on fire. I'm really winning. So I'm going to stick to that. And I think that should be seriously good advice for anyone. All the parents, you don't even have to do mornings. If you can find an hour in your day of homeschooling not to have a sleep, then good on you.
Get on it. Now, one of the things that pisses me off, Donnie, and there are a few.
Oh,
try not to be too negative.
No, well, you're a pretty happy camper most days.
Tax, Donnie, tax.
What's wrong with tax?
Tax does.
That's what makes the world go around, JT. Donnie, we have to pay our taxes.
Bloody shits me. Did you know, Don?
Oh, I do know.
In October.
Yes.
Well, actually, I should rewind it back. Go back to 1983.
We'll probably have a stinger
for that. That's when we decided, I do have a rewind stinger. Here we go.
Oh, here we are in 83. At you go.
So some freaking nuffer decided back then that we'll actually link tax to CPI, Consumer Price Index, every 6 months. So, if the economy's going up 1%, we'll throw up another 1% on taxation.
Well, that's very reasonable.
No, it's bullshit, Don. So what happens now is in 2020,
right,
as of next month, when the next CPI increase comes out for beer, guess how much tax we are paying for every stubby of beer you buy, how much tax is going to the federal government?
Oh, it'd be CPI. It'd be like 3% or something, wouldn't it?
Oh, a little bit more.
5.
Yeah, let's just keep going.
They wouldn't gouge up to 10.
Mate, I don't want this podcast to go too long, so I'm jumping straight to it. 42%, Don.
Turn it up.
42% of a typical stubby or a carton of beer that you are buying, 42% of that cost is going in federal government tax. We are the fourth highest taxed country in the world for beer. We're behind Finland, Japan, and Norway. It's bullshit. It's got to change.
You want some really sad news? All this cash that's been given out, JobKeeper, JobSneaker, fucking whatever you want, they're going to get that back, JT. And
guess where it's coming from,
bingo,
mate.
Watch GST when we all go up and celebrate. Yep, you heard it here first. GST will be skyrocketing up to, what is it now, 10%? I reckon they'll just go straight to 15.
Ooh.
It'll be massive, but that'll be their answer.
Did you know 90% of the revenue raised from taxes comes from 10 taxes?
Really? Well, the 90-10 rule.
There's about 140 taxes. So there's no doubt we need a taxation shift up in this country. Probably we aren't the two blokes to be talking about what it should be, though.
We should stick to politics.
Yeah,
Black Lives Matter and lollies. That works for us. Well, let's move on. Let's do that. Actually, speaking of taxes.
Yes.
Who's at the helm?
Scotty Morrison.
Scotty from marketing. Now, mate, I seen him the other day.
Oh, he's on TV every day, Don. It's not hard to see him.
Okay, wasn't some of my best investigative work. He was having a beer.
Mate, why wouldn't you?
Well, he's getting in now before he gets taxed for it.
He's got a tough gig, mate. He needs a drink like the rest of us.
JT's at the footy.
Nothing wrong with going to the footy, having a beer. Isn't that what we all love doing, Don?
Aren't we all in this together?
What do you mean?
So I see a photo of our Dan, Premier Dan Andrews, right?
He wasn't at the footy, was he?
No, he was at home slaving away over a Zoom call or network or Pornhub or something, right? The exact same time, Scotty from marketing is bang, knocking him back at the footy in New South Wales because there's no footy in Victoria.
Well, New South Wales is open. He lives in New South Wales. What's the problem with that?
So is that fair and reasonable that the leader of the country
is out there supporting his footy team? Good bloke, loyal, I like it.
But so he's now, if you look at this, he's got form. So he pissed off to Hawaii for the bushfires, got a bit too hot in the kitchen.
He needed a break. He had that booked miles.
So here he is now at the footy, knocking him back when we're all locked in the rooms and can't go to the footy, can't do nothing, but it's all right for the PM. What's that all about?
It's only Victoria that's locked down, mate. He's the national PM.
All right. So we're all in this together. Is that what you're telling me? Except if you're New South Wales.
I don't think that's the marketing slogan that necessarily he's running with, but I mean, what's the guy to do, though? If he stays at home, then he'd be criticised for not going out and support. I mean, honestly, I'd hate to be in politics on either side.
This is why we're not.
Cop it. I think,
well, actually, there's a few reasons why we're not.
Incompetence seems to be up there pretty highly.
Really high.
I would hate to be in politics in all seriousness. I mean, look, as much as we've all got views on, Daniel Andrews and Scott Morrison and everyone else, I wouldn't want their bloody job. You couldn't pay me enough money to do that. You are going to cop it from people regardless.
Yep.
It's a tough gig.
And that is the outcome, isn't it? So regardless whether you're at the footy, as far as I'm concerned, get on it, mate. You know what? If you're not at the footy having a frothy and enjoying yourself, then who are you kidding? Are you really representing the people? Because the people want to see you part of doing what we could if we could. So, mate, I'm just talking shit. I'm a big fan. Good on you. Well done, Scotty, for marketing, for getting to the footy. Well played.
Good work, Scotty. Well done.
Right.
All right. Now, of course, there are some absolute wankers out there going around, and particularly in Victoria at the moment. Now, we had the story during the week around KFC. And for those of you that didn't hear the story.
I don't watch a lot of news.
There was a guy at KFC decided he'd go and get some KFC. And instead of just buying a meal deal or a, I don't know, whatever they got, snack box or whatever the hell deals are going on. I wouldn't know, mate, because I don't go to KFC.
Well, my Jordan goes to KFC. She's bloody propped them up for the last JobKeeper amount. But anyway, moving on. What's this fella done?
I was there today, but don't judge me. man, all those hot and spicy. So guys at KFC, he's buying some KFC. Now, unfortunately, the guy, he must have been pretty hungry because he bought about 20 meal deals.
Ooh.
I mean, he could have just been hungry. But just so happened that there was some paramedics that would just happen to be standing behind him. And they smelled a rat. So they called it in.
Oh,
they called it in.
What, did he have a heart attack or something?
No, they called in the cops and said, there's a person buying a lot of KFC. And I'm no rocket scientist, but I'm pretty sure he's not going to be eating it all by himself. And we are supposed to be in lockdown, Don.
Oh, so you reckon he was taking it back for a party?
Man, I don't reckon. The cops went around there and busted 20 people having a right old good time.
So he was a designated driver for KFC.
He was the one to draw the short straw. And let me just say, it was a very expensive short straw.
What did it cost them?
Cops landed out some fines. I think it was $16,000 worth of fines. That's a very expensive KFC meal.
Suffering your jocks, dickheads, because we're all in lockdown. Get over it. You can party later, you knobheads.
Yeah,
and exactly plus, right. You're even more stupid because why didn't you just go through the drive? Fruit, dickhead.
Yep. Should have put them in our zero bloody section. No, but we've got another good one for that.
We'll have some other morons, don't worry. That's
exactly right. So, look, aside from Kikovic, because it seems like, you know, if you're from Victoria, you kind of smell to the rest of the country at the moment. Don, you're a proud Victorian. You've been to the Victorian Institute of Sport, spent a lot of time there.
I did. I was there for 1 year scholarship and I was there for 12 years.
They couldn't get rid of you.
Could not, mate. That was a bloody good guess.
Are you going to stand up and represent Victoria here? Because we are copping it, mate. And I feel like you could potentially be a spokesperson here for all
you
of
see,
us.
You see, I puffed my chest. Well, you wouldn't have seen it as a podcast, but puffed my chest up here, ready to represent the Vics. But the truth is, JT, I thought we're all in this together, no worries, mate. This is bloody good opportunity for us. And then we clearly, Victoria stuffed up. We got, you know, your conspiracy theory around the Labor's tapped the Premier on the shoulder and said, get all these security guards banging these people because they're...
Just for the record, proven conspiracy theory now.
All right. So they were doing the wrong thing, right? So every other state uses the cops and gets their COVID right. And I thought, righto, fair enough, we've stuffed up. We can whack that.
Yep.
But when all of a sudden New South Wales started to give us an absolute belting when we're down, I just thought, you flogs, do you not remember the Ruby Princess? Do you not remember that big ass boat that rocked up there? And I can't remember Victoria laying in. I think we all just bloody took shelter. So, you know what? I would like to just back the truck up and say, New South Wales, we don't need to be kicked while we're down. We're dumb enough. We've made some mistakes. So let's all just put the big arm of love out there and get Australia back on track. I'm a man of the people of the globe, JT. So I want this whole pandemic globally sorted. I'm not worried about the states kicking states, mate.
New South Wales.
Time to redeem yourself.
All right, Donnie, I think we've covered off a lot of the stuff that is happening this week, and there has literally been a lot happening, so let's move on.
Before we roll, I want to tell you I've had a big day. I went out to, you know, we've been banging on about we're open for sponsorship, right?
Yes, we are, Donnie.
We still are.
Yeah, we absolutely still
we
are.
We haven't got any. But
a lot of vacancies.
But what we do have is we have some ripping things that are out there. So being a man of the people, I've always got an eye on what's going on out there. And I went out to my good friends today I didn't go out there, it was because we're in lockdown. But I managed
allegedly.
I have for us this new bad boy here. Now, this is a gift for you.
What is this, Donnie?
And it is date night. It's tradie date night.
Tradie date night. Now, tradie as in tradie underpants.
I'm wearing. Yep. And have a smell of this, JT.
Spray it on me.
Right. I've just sprayed it on. Oh, yeah.
Good, good.
It is good. And here's another one. This is tradie workout because I know you're a bloody male model and you're all buffed up and you do a lot of stuff, right? And like, it's hypnotizing. It's hypnotic watching you when you're in the gym. But I tell you, oh, that does smell good.
Smells
so
all right.
Tradie have got out these
amber
new
wooden
ring-dinging body sprays. I tell you what, they will literally take on the world of smelling good. So get around them because they are, oh, geez, that does smell good. I won't leave this room.
You'd sell your soul that for anything, wouldn't you?
Well, I love tradie. I love the clothes. I didn't know that now, even if you got a bit of plumber's crack showing, you still can smell good. Smell love great. It.
Good work, tradie.
Thanks, tradie. Love your work.
Welcome aboard. EFT, BSB number.
We don't need it now. No, there's a lot of discussion to be had yet with tradie. Okay, it's early days.
Awesome.
We love them. Ooh.
What do you reckon, Donnie?
Oh, that sounds like a new stinger, JT.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what this section is. This is...
I haven't come up with a name, though, Don. I didn't quite get there with the name. I thought I'd work on the stinger.
You spent all your time on the stinger. Yeah, you didn't think about JT's journey.
That could work.
But JT's journey, well, one of our viewers, they've recommended...
That's true, JT's journey.
JT's journey, that could be one for you. But we're back to the fact that you're adopted, mate. And that's a true story. We know that. Anyone who's listening to the last five podcasts will be able to vouch for us. Now, mate, you were telling us that you...
Yeah, where did we get to? Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you where we got to because I'm intrigued and a lot of people are still also intrigued. So let me recap. You've always known you're adopted. You went along to an adoption agency. They taught you how to make contact. And so you wrote a letter. You got your envelope. It had the details of your mum in there. You've written to your mum. You got to go and meet your mum. She looked at you. First word she said is, wow, you look exactly like your father. And so you sat down and had lunch. You ate her out of the house. Like you literally ate everything she had in the house.
I like food.
You got introduced to a whole lot of new people, Uncle Ev and Auntie Linda and a whole lot of people. And now you're going to pick up from there around what else, like obviously that took place and you got reconnected with this whole group of new people that were in your world. You were introduced to them at your grandmother's funeral and that's where literally you're going to pick up from there.
Yeah, well, there you go. Thanks, Tom. Good recap. I think you got it right too.
Right, thank
Must
you.
Be listening.
I am listening, and, my friend.
So, mate, that's very, very true. So, I did get to meet everyone at my grandma's funeral. And look, that was all back in, as I said, when I was in early 20s. So, a long, long, long time ago. So, a fair bit of time has passed since then, right? And but I'm pleased to say that, look, I've met all of my aunties and uncles and spent some time with them and quite close to Uncle Evan, who lives in Thailand, moved over to Thailand, 3-4 years ago, and just got married this year. And again, one of the fallouts from COVID was I was supposed to be at his wedding and had it all booked and was taking the kids over there and all the family were going to come together. So it would have been the perfect chance for Emily and Lucas, my kids, to meet their other aunties and uncles because they haven't met them all. And
so tell me, did the wedding still go ahead?
The wedding still went ahead because look at the Packer, his beautiful now wife, is Thai. And so they had a lot of Thai, obviously, people coming and there was only a few Aussies that were sort of making the trek over. And, and obviously, it was just at the time, it was sort of early days with COVID, but it was getting really tough with restrictions and flights being cancelled.
I went through the same sort of thing. Yeah, you were saying to me, mate, I don't reckon you'll be travelling. I go, yes, I will be, JT. You were right. I didn't.
Look, I obviously missed out on the wedding, but look, it's been great sort of building those relationships and, you're never going to make up for lost time. We didn't grow up, I guess, with these people and we're all adults now. But but look, it's great because, that's a part of who you are and part of your genetics and part of your history. And so to actually start to learn about some of that stuff and your family and your background is pretty awesome because you obviously miss out on all of that when you're growing up. Notwithstanding, the family that I grew up in has a history and I have aunties and uncles as well who are also bloody awesome. So, I'm lucky I sort of had two sets. I don't look at it as a disadvantage. Yeah, it's exactly right. It's bloody great. So, my dad's got has a brother, so Uncle John and, so his family and my mum had a brother and a sister. So, Auntie Pam and Uncle Phil. And it was great, meeting, obviously, well, not meeting, I grew up with them, right? So,
sure.
I feel like I've had two families. I've been pretty lucky, I see it.
And now, JT, as you've gone through and you've got to know a few people, as I said, you you got to meet them all at your grandmother's funeral. So
yeah, yep.
You didn't get to meet her, or you did get
to? No, I never got to meet my grandma. So I never got to meet her at all. And so I never sort of met anything beyond in the immediate sort of family, if you like. So my grandpa had already passed away, I think, a long time before that. So yeah, and never got to meet the mum. So
okay.
Yeah,
yep. And you tell us your relationship with your mum. Obviously, that was it was pretty full on early.
Yeah,
And then tell us a bit more about that. Like, how did that?
Yeah, look, it was really hard. Looking back now, you know, the benefit of age and wisdom and hindsight and all that sort of stuff. You know, look, I probably didn't handle it too well. You know, I think I really wanted to meet her, and I met her, and I just thought, okay, great, I've done that now, and I got all the sort of questions I answered. And you know, Mum Helen was, you know, she was very different to what I expected. And, and I think I touched on it in one of the episodes.
You did. Yep.
And so I was sort of, I wouldn't say I was disappointed, although I probably was, to be honest. And so I just found it a little bit hard. It's hard. You meet someone, you don't know them for a bar of soap, right?
Yeah,
they're literally a new person, but it's my mum.
Yeah.
So you've got this weird connection.
I'd understand, mate.
They're different. You know, like you said, you have no relationship with them. So everything's sort of new. And look, we did have a fair bit in common, you know, and so there was certainly a lot of us to talk about. And I certainly built a relationship with her. Unfortunately, Helen passed away when I was pretty young. So I only got to know her for about 7 years before she passed away.
Okay.
So yeah, she passed away in January in 2003.
Yeah.
And she got brain cancer, and she died within 6 months of diagnosis. So it was pretty quick.
Yep.
And you know, she didn't even know she was sick. She collapsed at a train station one day, and so they took her to hospital and did the scans and found this basically inoperable tumor and said, you're done for, and you got about 6 months. And you know, she just took it like a trooper and said, oh, well, that's life. And, you know, didn't really try and sort of fight it too hard and just accepted it. And, you know, and I obviously spent some time with her, you know, towards the end. If I could have my life again, I would have spent bloody every day with her, though. I'd still, to be honest, I didn't think she was that sick, like looking at her.
You
know, it's a brain, it's weird, isn't it, right? Because you
can't see it.
That's right. When you physically see someone struggling or, you know, things are happening to their body, you get it and you go, wow. But I saw my mum just before she passed. And, I saw her just before she passed. And sorry about that for the noise, if anyone heard that. I don't know what it was.
And
I saw her just before she passed. And even then she was, you know, funny as we're having a laugh and a joke and whatever. So, you know, like right up until the end, she was, you know, didn't lose any sort of, you know, brain function, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, we were still, as I said, we still have a laugh and a joke. So, yeah, but look at me, if I had my time again, I would have spent a lot more time with her. And, you know, she would have loved that. And I think I sort of probably kept my distance a little bit, you know, too much. I think part of it just to probably protect myself and you know, I was, you know, selfish, to be honest, back then, and I was very career driven and I had a million other things going on in my life.
Sure.
And but you know, as anyone who would, you know, relate to it, who's lost someone, it's no different whether it's, you know, my biological mum or your best friend or your own mother. It's, of course, you would love to spend more time with them.
And that's the nature of, if I knew now what I know, you know, if I knew back then.
Yep.
But even then, like, you still, and I know you have a natural outlook on life that is in the positive side of things every other day of the week. So I'm sure, and for the people listening that have their own adoption story, you would still take that 7 or 8 years every day of the week, wouldn't you?
You could certainly take the glass half empty perspective and go, this is bullshit. I got to meet my mum. I only got 7 years with her. She died and life sucked. You know, Don, I know people that never got to meet their mum, ever.
Yeah.
Too late, dead already.
That guy that's
right.
Envelope, mate. Yep.
So I consider myself blessed every day that I got to meet my mum.
Yep.
And spend some time with her and get to know her and know who she was and have a laugh with her and have a drink with her and, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, I'll always treasure that. And as I said, I know I'm a lot luckier than some other people that didn't get to meet them or don't even get to find out who they are.
And of course, too, when she starts to tell you and connect you with the other people that are in your life, of course, your dad is somebody. When she made that comment, you look exactly like your father.
Yeah,
that then, of course, opens a door for saying, right, that will be another time that we'll explore your dad's side of things. But I really appreciate your honesty, because one thing that people would, you know, really get struggle to get their head around, I think, is the fact that your adoption wasn't necessarily just, okay, I've got my biological mum and I've got a mum and dad who adopted me, because that in itself is another part to that, isn't there?
Yeah, it's look, it gets really confusing. You have to get a notebook.
And I might draw up a wall chart for us.
And a pen out, but you're right. When I was, you know, when I was born and Helen was my biological mother, I was put up for adoption, and I was actually adopted by Jenny, right. who's been my mum the whole time. But Jenny remarried when I was about 12 months old, literally, so I was still really young.
Right.
And so she married a guy named Rick. Okay. And so as far as I can remember, I've been raised by Jenny and Rick.
Right.
But there was another guy on the scene, John, and I still talk to John today. And
wow.
So, you know, part of the, I assume, the custody arrangements and stuff was spending time with John while I was growing up. So So I really sort of got three sets of families. It's kind of bizarre. And as I said, still see John, and he's married beautiful Faye, and still get to see them. And I have two stepbrothers two stepbrothers and one stepsister. So Sean and Joanne and Jerem. So
and are you happy for us to explore this more? Because, I mean, your childhood and growing up and your story is bloody fascinating. You know, we could dedicate a podcast alone just to that. But obviously we've got a lot in the show, and I love hearing that each week they just scratch the surface enough to say we'll be back next week.
Peel off those layers,
there's so many layers to your life.
It's a very interesting story, but it's the only story I know. So as I said, right, I think in the very first episode, that was just normal for me. I didn't know any different. So I certainly appreciate now that it's probably somewhat different.
It's fascinating,
people growing up. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about how boring mine is. One mum and dad who love me and four siblings who beat the shit out of me. Hey, how's yours? Hey,
boring as batshit, Donny. a little bit of media watch, Donny. This is where we bring you some of our favourite clips from around the world. Now, Don, time knows no boundaries for some of the clips that we can find.
So if it's recorded even in 1808...
We would have it.
We'll have it.
We will have it.
In the library.
Don't know how, but we'll have it.
What do you go for, is
well,
JT?
Well, this one goes back to 1981, Don.
Oh, righto.
It's a long time. Now, it goes to a very, very big event on the Australian racing calendar, the Mount Gambier Cup.
Right.
Oh, it made huge.
Mount Gambier Cup.
And, well...
I've got friends in Mount Gambier.
What a beautiful spot.
Yeah, they've got the Blue Lake there.
They do have the
Blue Lake. Yes, they do, yep.
Kind of does look blue, too.
It some days. Yeah, you're not allowed to swim in it.
No, why is that?
Well, because it's blue. If you're swimming, it's not going to stay blue too long.
Ah.
Well, I don't think that's the official definition. I'll ask.
I wouldn't have thought that's the real reason, Don.
I'll ask them.
So, look, Sandy Roberts.
Yes. Doyon of sporting commentators.
Mate, would never put a foot wrong. He's no. No, he wouldn't.
He interviewed me once. He was very, very professional. And I thought to myself, if all commentators are that professional, would never have anything for this episode or any other episodes of Media Watch.
This is very true. Well, of course, he wouldn't. Well, that's
you
why
you found a mistake.
Shot. He stuffed up.
Yeah, all right. What's
a good
he done?
One. It's a good one. Well, he was introducing the then Miss Australia. Now, I'm going to say her name.
Yes.
Her name was Leanne Dick. Now, Don.
That's fair.
Given our segment is Media Watch.
Yep. I reckon he didn't get this bit right.
We often seem to have stuff that occurs below the belt for no particular reason.
We look for it.
So let's just, again.
Leanne Dick.
Her name was Leanne Dick. And, I'll just hand you over to Sandy.
Let's go, Sandy.
Miss Australia with us in Leanne Cock and Leanne Dick, I should say. And Leanne, it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. Do you want to hear that again, Donnie?
Yep.
Miss Australia with us in Leanne Cock and Leanne Dick, I should say.
I mean, that's an honest mistake, Donnie. You just got the word slightly
worst
wrong.
The thing is, because you run these things through your head, and then, of course, if it sticks in your head when you need to open your mouth, you're in the shit. As a speaker, I've been guilty a little bit from time to time of different things, and but never that one. So well done, Sandy.
Good
Thank
stuff,
you.
Sandy. Thanks for your contribution. Love it.
Love it.
Now, Don.
Yes.
Big moment.
Big moment.
We got your segment.
Oh,
yeah, this is your segment. Now,
Don's Diary.
Don's Diary got a stinger.
Have we got one?
We've got a stinger.
Where'd we get it?
Don, you haven't heard this.
I haven't heard this. So, I'm pumped. I left this to you.
Now, heads up, goes for about 20 seconds. It is our longest, because this is a big segment. It's our longest stinger in the show.
Okay.
So it's big. Ready?
Yep.
Sure?
Go.
Where once the paddles team used to go, there's a school that we know well.
to where their voices tell. Oh, that's my old school song. How good is that?
Hey, Donnie's old school song.
On the border where the River Murray flows. I love that.
It sounds better when you're not singing too.
Yeah, well, Steve, I'm going to sing every week. That is so awesome. You
like that? Happy with that?
Big shout out to Whitey. Bloody best principal going around.
Yeah, good on you, Whitey.
So thanks, champion.
Bloody, and I don't know if you noticed, right at the end, Donnie's a little symbol. I want you to listen out for next time. It took me a long time to get that timing right. Yes.
I don't reckon the devil is in the detail.
It wasn't. I actually got it in there.
Sorry, Whitey's bloody stuffed up our song. But anyway.
Now, of course, this segment, Don's Diary, is all about you, Don, telling us some bloody ripping stories that you've got. So what do you got for us this week?
Well, let me take you back. Since we're starting with school, let me take you back. So I do a lot of speaking. Well, before COVID, I was out and about corporates and all sorts of places. And a big part of my speaking stages are at schools. So here I am, I'm at a school and it was out the back of Albury, sort of out that sort of right near the border. And I go to this school and it's one of those little ones where it's like a P12. So there's like all the kids from primary school to year 12 are all together.
Yep.
So there's only like literally 50 kids in the whole school.
Yep.
Right. And so I've got command of the whole school. I'm up on stage, and which it might have been a few spud boxes all just stacked up on top of each other. And I'm up there. And now this is without a word of a lie. I often interact with my audience and I love it. Right. And you get lots of different things come your way.
Don't work with animals and kids.
That's it. Well, I refuse to accept that. I love working. So I said to the kids, I put it out there. I said, hey, in Paralympic Games, you know, there's six different classifications, disability groups that go to the Paralympic Games. And we're talking about them. We're saying cerebral palsy and my mob, the amputees and the CPs and the vision impaired. And I said to the kids, I said, so just imagine like the people that have got absolutely no vision, how would they run the race, right?
So the blind people.
The blind people. Clearly they can't see where they're going, right?
It'd be hard to run a straight line, I would have thought.
Correct. And so I've put this out. I said, so how do you think they do it? And this little tacker, I shit you not, he would have been maybe grade two, so probably about 7 or 8. And he could just, in a heartbeat, you look at him and go, he is straight off the farm. Right, he's got that little bit of farm kid about it. I love it already. So I'm in the bush, I'm smack amongst my people, and I could see his little cogs turning, and he's thinking. Puts his hand up, and I point him out. Says, "Yeah, mate, how do you reckon they do it?" He goes, "Well, I reckon there'd be on the lanes, they would just have like an electric fence." So I did that. I lost my shit because I just could imagine all my blinky mates being zapped as they're running down. Look, I thought, I wanted this kid to be prime minister. I loved that. Seriously, 15 minutes I was laughing. I just couldn't get it back together. It was gold. One of my funniest things.
Love it.
And so I just want to say to that little kid, I really hope you've gone into event management. And for those of you that are out there thinking, holy shit, that's cruel. Like, I actually think it's hilarious. But the truth is, the way the vision impaired people run a race is they typically have somebody stand beside them, and they would have like a piece of rope, and it would link between both of their, they would hold it in their hand. So someone has got sight and somebody who doesn't, and they train together and they run side by side, and the vision impaired person gets the instructions from the sighted person. And then of course the only real rule that's different is the person with the vision impairment has to cross the line first, so they can't be dragged, like the person with the sight can't be dragging the blind guy down the track. We have seen, you know, at different, watch Paralympics, mate, it's bloody fascinating. But I still can't wait for the day they bring in the electric fences. I just thought that was awesome.
So there you go,
Donnie's Diary. It's all about electric fences for the blinkies.
Loving Donnie's Diary. That is a great story.
That's true.
Thank you for sharing that, Donnie. Now, right, mate, is the time that
this is what we've tuned in for.
This is why people listen. Let's be honest.
The only reason.
Dad joke of the week.
They just go from strength to strength, JT. So I know this will be big.
It's big.
What do you got?
This is one of my best, Donnie.
Really?
Yep.
Big call.
I know. I just want to keep upping the ante each time.
Well, you have been.
That we go.
We started with ugly people on a table and single blokes not getting a root. Right? What do you got?
The only way was up, really, wasn't there. So, well, Donnie, some sad news. I'll start with some sad news first of all. The world tongue twister champion just got arrested. I hear they're going to give him a really tough sentence.
I need to lie down when I listen to yours. I like how you
Come
start.
On, that is
I like your start. Gold. We should have got cricket, Scott. No.
Oh, anyway. What do you mean?
You think about it, kids. You'll like it in about 15 minutes.
I thought that was good.
No, that's all right. All right. No. Average.
All right. Next one.
Step it up.
All right. Gorillas, Donnie.
Yes. Oof.
I love gorillas, mate. How they are just majestic. One day, this true story, bucket list, would love to do the go and see the gorillas in the mountains. I think it was just
Where you were going with that, I'd love
amazing.
To do.
Combines my love of trekking and gorillas.
Yep.
Happy days.
Righto.
And sad, sadly, the way we're screwing up the planet, there's probably not going to be many opportunities to do it. This is a joke or a story about gorillas, Donnie.
Righto. Okay. Give it to us.
All right. Ready? Here we go. A gorilla dies of old age at a zoo right before the zoo opens. And it's the only gorilla at the zoo, since they're actually not very profitable. You have to feed them a lot and it costs a lot of money to keep them going.
That makes sense.
However, the gorilla is their most popular attraction by far, and they can't afford to go a day without it. So the zoo owner asked one of his workers to wear a gorilla suit. And they've got one in storage. He says, I'll give you an extra $100 a day if you'll go in the gorilla cage and pretend to be a gorilla until we can get enough money to go and buy a new gorilla.
Bloody genius.
That's what I would have thought. Bloody brilliant thinking.
He's an entrepreneur.
So quickly,
yep.
The new gorilla becomes the most popular attraction at the zoo. Hey, people are coming from all over to come and see the human-like gorilla. And it's huge. But Donnie, about a month in, the craze has started to wear off. The crowds start declining and the zoo starts struggling a little bit more.
Up the ante.
Yeah, exactly. So to get the people's attention, the very, very, very clever zoo manager decides to do something.
What did he do?
Well, he didn't do anything.
Oh.
Because of what happened, Donnie, he empowered his people to make the right decisions. So the person who was wearing the gorilla suit thought, well, I've got to take it upon myself to up the ante. And I love people like that,
yes,
Donnie.
Yes, leadership.
Don't wait to be told. Do it yourself.
Yes.
So he decides to climb over his enclosure and hang from the net ceiling above the lion's den next to him.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, gutsy move.
I know. So this is all of a sudden, there's huge crowds of people. They've come to watch and they're seeing this gorilla hanging above this lion's cage. And the people that are staring in awe and in terror.
Yeah.
Going, well, what happens if he bloody falls? Yeah. And Donnie, the worst happens.
Oh, no.
Yep. The man starts screaming, help, help. Before you know it, suddenly a lion pounces on him and whispers in his ear, shut the fuck up right now. You're going to get us both fired.
Oh, that's good. Oh, I like that one. Yeah, I didn't see that coming. Yeah, very good. Well played. you see, you just keep getting better, JT.
Love it.
Oh, well done.
And I love that you love it.
I did like that, yes. These aren't rehearsed, by the way. I'm a bit with
Don here isn't the first time here because I have to try and get a real reaction.
You get it. That's it. No, I like that. That's good. I probably won't open it with my next gig, but it might get a run. I like it. It's good.
Life hack of the week, Donnie. This is where we make life just that little bit easier for people with some amazing hacks that we have researched far and wide to come up with.
We've got travelled the globe to find these.
We really have. Google search. And Donnie, what have you come up with this week?
Well, talk about travel. Here's a life hack. I'll tell you what. Once upon a time, there used to be this thing called travel.
I remember it well.
Victorians, forget it.
I can't even leave my suburb.
But if you ever get a chance to do it again and you find yourself on a plane and you get to your luggage and you go, oh, shit, what colour is my bag again? They all look the same. And they do, trust me, they all look the same. A little tag, just like put a little rainbow ribbon or a little, like make something that hair just hair tie or a little bit of bloody duct tape.
I use some Velcro straps.
Yeah, well, be careful because sometimes it looks like, oh, he's a drug smuggler. So you can just tone it down a bit, JT.
Could explain it.
You know, those people that wrap them in about 4 million bits of plastic.
Yeah, I always worry about those dodgy
But if you're going to do that, do it at the airport. Don't get your Glad wrap out and do it, like, trust me.
So the hack is, Don?
The hack is decorate your bag so it looks very easy to spot on the carousel when they all look the same.
Brilliant. So completely pointless hack.
Pointless hack. I've got another pointless hack for you this year, JT.
What's that one?
A diary.
Yeah.
You're not going to need it.
Repeat. Yeah. Groundhog Day. Yeah, exactly right.
My advice is get this year's diary and delete just liquid paper a few numbers out at the start and then use it again next year.
Don, they are completely useless. The people come to us for real hacks, Don. Have you got anything real? Because they're just crap.
Okay. All right. You know, you have those days and you just got your favorite pair of pants, right? And the bloody zip keeps hanging down.
Oh, it's annoying.
And then before you know it, you got old fella just hanging little Donnies out there. And you just before you get to that point, here's my life hack. You want to keep your – exactly. You want to keep – be careful when you zip it up like that too, JT. Especially if it's no undie Sunday. But when you zip it up, right, if your zip keeps coming down, your fly keeps coming down, just get yourself a little key ring, right? Go through the eye hole of the zip and just – connect that little key ring up the top around your button. Boom. Your zip stays up all day. Simple as that.
There you go.
Great
little
life hack.
There's a useful life hack.
Very, very easy. Now, I went past your car, JT.
Yep.
And I'm glad I said to you, mate, you got to do something about your light.
Ah, you're right. It's looking, you know, when you get those cars that are getting on a little bit. And, well, my Ferrari's now about. We all know I don't have a Ferrari.
Yeah, that's it.
It's not the type of car that's important. No. It's the driver.
Well, if anyone's going to have a Ferrari out of the two of us, it's you.
Won't be me. Bloody can't say I don't fit in them, Don. They're too
low to the ground. Yeah, you need a convertible.
Very uncomfortable.
No roof.
But no, one of the things that happens on the old cars is those headlights, they start to get that sort of hazy look.
And
not only does it actually make it worse, your headlights are weaker. It just looks shit too. But it actually turns out that one of the things you can do is just actually rub toothpaste on the front. It actually gets rid of that haziness off your headlights.
What? You just leave it on there?
Rub it on, mate, and rub it off.
Oh, wax on, wax off. Of course. Okay, very good. And, I like it.
There you go. Happy as Larry. So I'm going to, because I haven't actually tried this.
I'd say try
I'm going to do it on my car. So
I'd say try it on a neighbour's car first. There's a life hack.
That's also
a good point. Do it on yours because you've forgotten.
It couldn't be any worse, to be honest. So I'm going to give it a crack. I'll do a before and after photo and we'll see what we come up with.
Right. Like, can you put that on our group? On our
mate,
podcast
I'll put it on our Facebook group.
Before and after.
Just look up for the Giddy Up Podcast Facebook group if you're not
on. And I might make a video of our wine ice tray hack.
Ah, yes.
And I'll do a before and after of that too, about 15 bottles and see how we go.
Excellent. Look forward to that. Now, each week you bring us a book that you give a few tips for the listeners. What do you got for us this week, Don?
Mate, this week I've got an audio book and I'm putting it in front of a camera here for the punters to have a look at. It's called
impressive.
The Happiness Advantage. I listen to a lot of audio books.
Because you can't read.
I cannot read. I struggle with reading. That's who Anyway, I love this. And this is just the... Like, as I said, we're pretty positive folk, but this one here, The Happiness Advantages, it really got me thinking and going, well, what is happiness? Where does it come from? Because most people think if you bust your ass and you work really hard, you'll be happy. Well, The Happiness Advantage flips that on its ear. I've got a preview for you, JT,
technology.
Of the book. So
could go wrong?
Let's see how we go.
Psychology is underway. For untold generations, we have been led to believe that happiness orbited around success, that if we work hard enough, we will be successful. And only if we are successful will we become happy. Success was thought to be the fixed point of the work universe, with happiness revolving around it.
Righto, JT, you get the point. The book is The Happiness Advantage. And the reason I want you to check in on that is because in this day and age, happiness is the one thing that we all are in control of, our own happiness. And I cannot express how much I love that book, so much so that I've got it on reserve, ready to listen to it again when it's available for me on the 20th of August. So one other one on life hacks, JT.
Shoot, what do you got?
Audiobooks. If you sign up to BorrowBox, you actually don't have to pay for your books.
Sign up to what?
BorrowBox. So get an app, go to the App Store or your Google Box, whatever it is, that one. And
Google Box. You heard it first.
Wherever you get your fucking other apps on the Android. Right? So, but if you just borrow your books, you don't have to pay for them. And my book's bloody expensive. So I encourage people, just listen to mine, borrow it.
There we go.
There's
a great tip. Now, Donnie, each week, of course, we bring you our heroes and zeros.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yep.
You know.
Oh. Oi, that's new.
Yeah.
Look at you. Haven't you been busy?
I like that one. I kind of.
It's what happens when you're unemployed in COVID times.
It's a bit of an upgrade than the last one, I thought.
Oh, I like that.
Now, this week, Don, look, I want to introduce our hero this week. And it's Carrie Bickmore.
Right.
Off the project.
Does she need an introduction? She is very well known.
She doesn't really need an introduction. I think
everyone amazing
stuff. Us knows Carrie Bickmore. But look, I just want to give her a massive shout out for a beanie day. And most people have seen, Carrie talk about it before. And I don't know, they had an episode a couple of nights ago that was dedicated to it every year. And honestly, I think I went through a couple of boxes of tissues watching the show, as per usual. It's just an incredible story that Carrie shares with everyone around just, you know, her own journey, but just about everyone else's journey. And obviously, you know, just learned a little bit about my mum as well. So it's something that's close to home. And I think, you know, for Carrie Bickmore to do what she does and bring such an awareness to such an incredible, and difficult disease that doesn't get a lot of attention otherwise, and try and get some funding to it. She's just doing an amazing job. And well, here's just a little bit of a clip from sharing some of the good news.
Tell it. We have now raised over $5 million.
Oh, happy days.
Oh, this is ridiculous. It is incredible. So thank you from the bottom of my heart.
So, mate, I remember the first year you did this, I remember having a conversation in our office and you only wanted to order like 5,000 beanies. And I was like...
You were trying to push me to 20 and I was like, I'll go to 7.
And they've got over half a million beanies.
Over the last 5 years, over half a million beanies.
And in the middle of a recession.
So bloody awesome effort. So awesome. Carrie Bickmore, you're a superstar. Keep going. Love your work.
Well done, Carrie. It's sensational. No, there's one of those beanies from every year in my house. There's actually more than one because my beautiful wife looks at that and says, you know what? What can we do? So I love how that people just mums and dads can contribute to something far greater when it's not about us. And she's brought that awesome awareness. So awesome hero, JT. Well done,
thank
mate.
Thank you, mate. And look, our zero from the week. Let's just play this little clip.
The terrorist who attacked two Christchurch mosques, killing 51 people, will defend himself at his sentencing. Australian Brenton Tarrant has pleaded guilty to 51 charges of murder, 40 charges of attempted murder, and a charge of committing a terrorist act after the attacks last March.
I tell you what, most times when I hear Australian and it's coming from overseas, I'm usually a pretty happy camper. And I go, you bloody ripper. Good on Aussies. What have we done? You know, I remember exactly where I was. I was with a couple of mates literally in Singapore when that hit the news, and it's an Australian's killing bloody New Zealanders. And we were just going, what the? And so we found a TV and we tuned in and we just, and that, I tell you what, when you talk about zeros, that's an understatement for that piece of shit. And the one thing I suppose I'm really glad about is that he is defending himself, and mostly because he will get what he bloody deserves, whatever that is.
Well, he's pleaded guilty anyway. Waste of oxygen. Yep.
Piece of shit. Righto, sadly, we're going to move really quickly past zeros because he's a dickhead.
Celebrity Rewind, Donnie. Now, each week we bring you a celebrity guest.
We do.
Donnie,
Sometimes we haven't got celebrities. Mate, so.
You're the one with a very powerful network, so I leave this bit up to you.
You do.
So who have you got for us this week, Donnie?
Well, this week we've got a good mate of mine. When I say mate of mine, I use that loosely, and if he heard me saying it, he probably wouldn't have taken my
call. Does he even know who your name is?
No, I stalked him and I just put the microphone in his window and just waited. No, he's a cracking bloke. He played for West Coast. And then he came over and played footy for Collingwood. He'd done a fair bit on TV and radio. And his persona is all about not necessarily working, not being the hardest worker in the team.
Right, right.
Like he's sort of a bit allergic to hard work when it comes to his football career. So let's have a listen to Scotty Cummings, one of the all-time bloody champion blokes.
Oh, g'day, Donnie. G'day, JT. Scotty Cummings here, former elite athlete. Former athlete, used to play footy a bit long time ago, Eston, Port Adelaide, West Coast, Collingwood full forward, back in the day. Firstly, let me say giddy up, going great guns, loving it, and great podcast, fellas, and JT, the jokes, they're okay. No, they're not. They're shit-ass. I didn't mind the Chihuahua guide dog one, though. There that, we was, go. That was pretty good. Go. But, boys, I guess you asked me to let you know what advice I would give my younger self. And when I get asked that question, I think it refers to someone saying, what would you change in your life, or what do you regret? And I don't like living life with regrets. Maybe that's from knowing you, Donnie, but I don't like living life with regrets or thinking what would be different, because where we end up, I'm pretty lucky in life and it's a beautiful wife and beautiful kids. I guess the one thing I would say to myself is, maybe Colonel Sanders isn't your go-to bloke when you're feeling a bit down. Maybe stay away from him. He's not good for you. Maybe the other bit of advice would be, don't get involved in podcasts. Certainly don't get involved in a podcast with Dane Swan. But we live and we learn, don't we, boys? I guess my only advice I would say to myself, if I could wind myself back to probably teenage years, and this is where we can all shape ourselves as really good humans, is be nice to everyone. Just be a good bloke. Treat everyone equally. Treat everyone fairly. And you'll get the same in return. You'd have no idea what steps other people have taken, what life they lead, or the shoes, until you can be in their shoes, or your case, Donnie, shoe. You have no idea where they've been or what they've done, and treat everyone fairly. Just be a good person. And that'd probably be my advice to myself. Everyone's the same. Enjoy life, laugh a lot and often, and just be a good bloke. That'd probably do me, boys. All the best.
Well, I'll tell you what, JT, I reckon he's nailed his own advice. Be a good bloke, laugh a lot, and stay away from podcasts. Because he has got some history, and unfortunately he had a podcast with Dane Swan, who we'll reach out to Dane, see if he'll have a chat with us as well one day. And honestly, it turned Scotty's world upside down, unfortunately. But just like his advice is simple but so bloody real, isn't it? And so important in this day and age, in any day and age. Just be a good bloke. And I don't think we need to overcook it or complicate it. Just keep it simple. Be a good bloke.
And that was very funny. Yeah. He's a funny bloke.
He's a bastard having a crack at me with that. No, I love him, mate. He's a good
bloke. That was awesome. Now, of course, we also ask our celebrities, Don, to pose us a question.
Oh, what did Scotty say?
I have absolutely no idea until I hit the button.
Let's play it.
Paul, I've got a question for you that will make some people shudder and others maybe... You go, hang on, let's have a look at it. That'll never happen. But would our lives be better without social media if we removed it all? Twitter, Instagram, which I use both of, TikTok, Snapchat, all of it. Would our lives be better if we just shut it all down? I'm thinking about that as a father of two, a 12-year-old and a 7-year-old. I'm thinking about the bad side of social media. Would our lives be better if we shut it down?
Well, I'll tell you what, JT, this is one of the catches with not listening to the questions before we come on and do this podcast, because now we have to make a decision without actually thinking about it. But it's a bloody good point, isn't it? Like, if we shut it down, and I was having this conversation today with somebody saying, once upon a time, if we got any medical advice, it was science-driven and proven. We now get opinionated advice from anybody, one who's got a platform. And I'm not going to kid you. Like, I got, I'm shit on Instagram, but I love Twitter and Facebook and that sort of stuff. And I'm a big fan of Snapchat. So I'd be going, I'd just be busy living if I didn't have those things, versus stopping and reading whatever the people are doing and scrolling. So would it be better? I'm not convinced it'd be better, but would there be elements of life that would be way better without it? Bloody oath. Another way to for people that wouldn't be able to bully through those platforms, that would make life better. So I think part of it, not having them would be good, but I think there's also a part that I'd miss greatly by if they weren't around. What are your thoughts? Should we shut them down?
I'm I'm just trying to – I don't think I've never ever heard a response that sits on the fence more than what you just said. Hey, well, you are getting paid the big bucks here, mate, to give us a decision. You can't just give us crap like that. Oh, yeah, well, you know, it could be good, yeah, but it could be bad. Man, it, no shit. Well, give us an opinion, Don. People want to know your opinion.
I'll tell you what my opinion is. I'm going to do it. For a week, JT, I'll get off all –
There is
– Every
– Donnie, there is zero chance of that happening with you.
I'm off it.
I'll give you zero chance.
Right, name three social medias that I can't be on, and I won't be on them.
Facebook,
right,
which is sucks for everyone. It's in our Facebook group. You should be contributing to. But sorry. I don't think you could live without Facebook for a week.
I could.
Snapchat, zero chance of you living without Snapchat. I'm not even on Snapchat, but right. I know you.
Oh, I love it.
You just live on it.
I love it.
And I think we need to take Twitter off you as well. The big three. Oh
shit, that's my lifeline. Okay, right up those three there. I will not touch for a week. I'll shut them down.
This is a shout out to every single person that knows Donnie. If there is one single breach, you know who you got to send it to. Screenshot it, send it in to me, and I will call him out because he is committed to this.
I'm committed. Oh, I don't know. I can't believe I just did that.
I know.
Fuck you, Scotty.
I don't know why you freaking did that. There's no need to do it whatsoever.
You put me on the fence and I just put myself in the corner. I love it.
That's giving us something exciting to talk about. Right. Good work, Donnie.
Right, now answer the question, JT. You reckon we're better or worse?
Better.
Better without it.
Oh, you know what? I think when you're look, I think it's great just to keep across what some of your friends are doing and stuff without actually going and seeing everyone, because the reality is it's not enough hours in the day to do that. And it's nice just hearing what people are up to and seeing stuff.
Sure.
I think that side of it's really good. I think it's great to see stuff that you would just otherwise never see, that, you know, the only time you hear about news or what's going on in the world is typically what you see on the nightly news.
Yep.
And I think, or, you know, if you do happen to watch a doco, which I do, but I love the fact that you can actually get on there and see content that other people have created and get other opinions.
I'm really concerned.
So like, I'm all for it.
One of you're all for it. The more I think about what I just bloody said and how stupid it was, but I must admit, what I'm probably going to miss the most is Sarah Cooper.
Yes.
Love her work. Fair dinkum. She lip syncs Donald Trump and nails it. Is one of my, like, I literally go to Twitter to check her out and watch.
Not next week. You won't be saying jack shit.
Can you tape them? All right.
Donnie's still reeling from the stupid decision he's made to stay off social media for a week. So we're going to go straight to our audience Q&A. Now, I love this. Melanie Rosado.
Oh, Melanie.
Melanie, I love this. She has sent us in some breaking news, Don, and it is massive news.
What is it?
Well, look, growing up, I think I've spoken about this before, some of the ice creams that you grow up with, they just bring back great memories.
Oh,
and
yes.
For me, Bubble-O Bill. Oh, you know.
When did you eat the bubble gum? First or last?
Last.
Always had last. To be last. Because otherwise it goes hard in about three bites.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And always used to take the chocolate off the back.
Yes. Yeah,
and then you take, you know, exactly right. So anyway, big news, Don.
What?
Bubble-O Bill is now in IGA stores in a tub.
Huh?
Yep, they're bringing it. They've brought it out. It's done. So we've got Bubble-O Bill and Paddle Pop. Love the Paddle Pop flavours.
Yeah.
You now buy it in a tub in ice cream. Now, I don't know how that works with a bubble gum ball. Maybe it doesn't have the bubble gum ball. But
surely you get more than one bubble in the tub.
Well, I don't know. I haven't bought it yet.
Where is it? IGA. IGA's,
mate. Get on board. It's an awesome tip. So
thanks, Mel.
Thanks, Mel. Any other listeners out there that got breaking news like that, that's the kind of shit that we want to know about.
Melanie, you rock.
You do bloody rock, Melanie. Now, of course, Donnie, this is big.
This is big. Yes, that's the postman, JT.
There it is.
Just turned up. Look what I've got for you.
And it actually
is. It says, hold that up to the camera, JT, so people can see.
I don't know if I want to.
So,
JT, love from the blind people.
Love from the blind people. Please pay your bill now. They've posted this in. I went out to the mailbox and just grabbed it. Open it up. This is a solution. Well, hell, would I know what's in it? I wouldn't know.
Open that up, JT. One of
our great trusty listeners is obviously in tune with your blind people, and they've sent in a solution. Clearly no expense saved here, JT. And it looks a lot like a blackout mask, JT.
I get it. Right, so the idea is stop whinging about the bloody light going through. Just wear this.
Put your blackout. I'm pretty sure it had send a romper on the back of that. So Bloody genius. He's not known for being funny, but I think that's hilarious. So well done. Please send in all your
those bloody neighbours.
Anything
there,
you want to post you, in, right. We love it. Just well, keep sending shit
that is
in like that.
A great segue, Donnie, into one of my favourite segments. It's not really, but I think it's a really important opportunity to talk about some really important shit in the world. And it's not the Q&A section because I already played that one, so I was bound to stuff something up at one point.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Donnie, we know I was very, very frustrated with my with the pelmets and a bit of light leaking through, and I needed that pitch black. And we played the message that I got from said company, and they just didn't give a shit.
Well,
basically.
They did. They posted those.
So we did end up having some additional words.
Yes,
I did think I mentioned in last week's podcast that I would call them and tell them I wasn't happy, and I said, "Well, you know what? Sam did tell me he had a solution, and they said they were going to go and talk to Sam."
Correct. And what happened now? Because a week's passed.
A week has passed.
What did they come back with? What was their whiz bang solution?
Big news, Donnie.
Yep.
It's fixed.
What did they do?
Sam came around yesterday.
Did he?
Came around, fitted his solution.
Where?
In my bedroom.
I knew you'd get him back in there.
In the pelmets.
Yep.
Right where it should have been. Oh. And pleased to say, 95% happy, Don.
Oh, so he's still fine. Shit, you're hard to please, JT. You are one of those people.
Still just a little bit light.
Did a light leakage.
Look, a couple of trips to Bunnings and I've got it all under control. So pleased to say it is a successful outcome and hats off to that company. I can name them. Fabric Creations.
Well done, Fabric Creations.
They came out, they did follow up and they made sure that ultimately that the customer was happy. So
that's awesome. And it's about time. It's about time too that we give credit where credit's due in society, because we kick quick, but we don't stop and write a really positive review for people. But we will absolutely, we're just a big shout out to Fabric Creations. Is it?
Yeah, exactly right. Good. Well done. Guys. Now, sort of leads me to something else I want to talk about. And there's two things. One is, I want to talk about net promoter scores. Now, for most people, they probably don't know what a net promoter score is, right? But if you ever got that survey, and I'll give you a real example. A couple of days ago, I had to go and buy some kitty litter for Oscar.
Oh, right. I thought you were changing your toilet habits.
And I needed to get it. I thought I'd get a couple of bags, save me a trip later on. So I went to this place. It used to be Pet Barn. It's changed bloody hands or whatever. It's now some different bloody
joint,
right? Doesn't matter, whatever. Right. Are you a member here? No, I don't think so. Would you like to sign up? Sure, sign me up.
Yep.
So we sign up and I buy my two bags of kitty litter.
Great.
The next day I get an email. Oh. On a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you to recommend this company to your family or friends?
Mm.
Now, that is what is known as the Net Promoter Score.
Oh.
It's a question that a lot of businesses ask. It's one question. It was designed to simplify, you know, this a summation of whether a customer's happy with you or not. The theory being, if someone gives you a 9 or a 10, they're what we call promoters. They are actively out there telling everyone, oh, this brand's amazing. They're bloody fantastic.
Yep.
And if you give someone a 1 to a, what are we up to? 1 to a 6, you're a detractor.
Oh.
It means you're just pretty not happy with that company. If something better came along, you would happily jump ship and not think twice about it.
Right.
So you've got your detractors at one end, 1 to 6 or makes 0 sense. To 6. You've got your promoters in a 9 to 10s. And in the middle, you've just got your neutrals, your sevens and eights. Yeah, your fence sitters. You, Donnie, the fence sitters. And the reason they're fence sitters, you go, geez, I gave you an 8. That's a pretty high score, you would think, right?
Yeah.
But what the science and the customer research has told us that, they're sort of happy, but they would actively leave. The research shows us that the 9s and 10s spend more money. The reality is if your customers are happy, they spend more money. They stay with you longer. And they typically spend more money. The 7s and 8s do not.
Right.
So even though a 7 or 8 actually sounds like a reasonably good score, the net promoter score model says, no, it's only the 9s and 10s are the ones that are actually going to be good for your business.
So what do we need to take away from this, JT?
So the lesson is, for companies that send out net promoter scores, when I bought two bags of freaking kitty litter, you are overkilling it.
Oh, okay.
How happy am I? When put in real terms, on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you to recommend this pet shop to your family or friends when you're buying kitty litter? It's freaking kitty litter. I don't give a shit where I buy it from. Your company is not going to make a piece of difference. It is what is killing customer research and customer satisfaction with companies that just don't understand how to use it, probably don't even look at the data anyway. It's just pointless.
They've just seen a trend and said, we'll jump on that and send SurveyMonkey out or do something.
Exactly right.
And
It's so, just bloody frustrating. So the lesson out there for everyone, though, is so you understand now,
yep.
if you ever get a question on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely you do recommend product or company to your family and friends, that's a net promoter score. If you give them a 9 or 10, that means you're going to be in their good books.
Yep.
0 to 6, you're definitely in their bad books. And 7 or 8, they don't give a shit.
So do they leave you alone after that?
No, they'll probably send me another one tomorrow saying, we notice you haven't responded to our survey.
Yeah, right. This
is what happens. You get into their loop. And it's, again, I bought kitty litter.
Yep.
You know, this is not, I didn't go buy a new car from you and spend 100 grand.
Yeah, right.
You know, so I think just, again, companies get a little bit carried away with their market research right. sometimes.
Right. Well, JT, if anyone's going to know, I mean, you are one of the top 25 influencers in the world when it comes to customer experiences.
Last year, mate. Last year.
Oh, we're going to, sorry, mate. I'm still using last year's figures. And if they're not better this year, then I'll keep. Mate,
I'll be out of the list. I've been very quiet this year. COVID's done weird things.
Right, mate. So you got anything else for us under customer, the blowtorch section?
The only one thing I did just want to just shitted me up the wall, and I actually wrote about this today. If
I did see you follow lost me on your my shit
professional
on
world on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, yes.
Was just, I had to take my mum to, and I think I sort of told everyone about my mum, and she had a car accident, and she had a follow-up appointment with her surgeon. And it was a couple of days ago. Now I took her in and to see the surgeon. It was a 9:15 appointment.
Right.
So I hadn't been there before, and I had to get a wheelchair for her. So we got there a bit early. So I was sort of there at 9. So I wheeled her into the hospital, and I said, "Oh, yeah, we're here to see the surgeon." He said, "No worries, we'll take it from here." And I sort of looked at her and I said, "Sorry, take what from here?" She goes, "Oh, your mum." I said, "What do you mean?" She goes, "Well, with COVID, you can't come in."
Right.
And I was like, oh, Jesus, okay, well, the world's changing pretty quickly, fair enough. And say, look, we'll wheel her into the waiting area and you'll just have to wait out here. I said, okay, no worries. See you, Mum. Go on. Now, Mum's sort of early stage dementia and memory's a bit all over the place sometimes. Hit and miss, most of the time she's all right. But she's also elderly and just gets confused easily and all that sort of stuff. And I wanted to be there when the surgeon was giving her the news and the results because otherwise, she probably wouldn't remember most of it or misunderstood it, et cetera, right?
Sure.
So anyway, so 9:15, I leave her, I go there and I'm happily looking at TikTok videos for hours. It's amazing how quickly time goes when you're looking at TikTok.
Yep.
And before you know it, Donnie, it was 11:15, 2 hours later.
From a 9:15?
Yeah, for a 9:15. Now, I've gone back to the lovely lady on the front and I said, hey, listen, I just dropped my mum off a couple of hours ago. Do you know how much longer she's going to be? Now, the lady at the front was awesome. She said, look, geez, that seems like a while. Look, why don't you just go down and check in on her? I thought, oh, thanks. So I did.
COVID's finished.
Yes. So I went in and found mum just sitting there in a waiting room with a bunch of other people looking pretty confused and, not really knowing what the hell was going on, sitting in a wheelchair, which wouldn't be that comfortable for 2 hours. I thought, you've got to be bloody kidding me. And I went up to the counter and said, hey, listen, it was nice, but I said, hey, look, can you tell us how much longer it's going to be? And she said, oh, actually, she's next. I thought, oh, bloody great. So I thought, stuff this, I'm just staying. And I waited and thankfully went into the surgeon. And I'm glad I did because, honestly, she probably wouldn't have taken in half of what was said. But it just got me really frustrated around wait times. And I think we've all probably experienced it for people out there listening. When you go to the doctors or to the dentist and they give you an appointment time, and you do the right thing. You make sure you're there on time. And yet for them, it just seems to be that, half an hour, 2 hours later, who gives a shit? And it just pisses me off because there is enough technology out there today. You ring a call center now, you probably experienced it where you're in the queue and they said, hey, you know what? You can hang up and hold your position in your queue. We'll call you back. And you think, how bloody good's that? I'll hang up, keep doing, going about my life. Or you go to Chemist Warehouse or something, they give you a little buzzer and you can keep shopping and they'll buzz you when your prescription's ready. There is technology available. We could automatically just SMS people and tell them, look, sorry, we're running an hour late. Do what you got to do, whatever. Yep. There's just no bloody excuse for it. It's rude, it's arrogant. I accept it in an emergency department when things happen. That's fine. But when you've got appointments like that, that's just bullshit. And the whole medical industry and the whole retail industry needs to up their game over wait times.
Well, there you go. You heard it from JT. And if anyone's going to know, he is one of the top 25 influencers in CX the hell world.
Up about bloody
no, CX that's stuff. Bloody important, JT. That's why.
So, Donnie, one of the things we wanted to do is just look, I think hopefully people are enjoying our show. If you're still listening here, I must think it's half okay. So, one of the things that we would just love you guys to do is help us grow the podcast because we want to kind of get out of our immediate family.
Yes. Thanks, Mum, Sarge, Wolfie.
And look, to be honest, it's been great seeing people comment that we actually don't know who they are. That's awesome. And we do want to try and reach as many people as possible. That's why why we do the podcast. So if you are listening, can you just help us out a little bit and just share the group? We are going to create a Facebook page, which will be public. Right. So we'll do that in the next couple of days.
People will be able to share that and stuff.
Yeah, you'll be able to share the page, but you can share the group right now. So
you can invite people into the group.
That's exactly right. If you just invite someone, it's just invite members, and you can invite them in. They're pre-approved if they're invited from someone already in the group.
And so if people aren't in the group, they wouldn't have seen the video I posted earlier when you were on RedTube having a look at Pornhub.
There is no such video as that. So,
get on the group. Yeah, you're missing it. That
would be bloody awesome if you could help us out and grow the show. What else you got for us, Donnie?
Mate, that's it. That's a wrap.
That's it.
Yep. Till next week.
Hang on, but remember last week we didn't quite get the wrap up, the timing right.
Tell me when.
Soon? Really soon? Any moment? It's like now, I think, Donnie.
Giddy up.